From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here, one for you and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking, when lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. He lit up. It was written all over his face. The emotion, the identity, the love. Well, you know, that's not an entirely foreign experience to us. Dialing back our memories about 3 weeks, the opening event of the Olympics, or one of them, was the team figure skating competition. And one of the U.S. team members is a young woman named Ashley Wagner. Perhaps you remember. And in her skating program, she skated quite well, as it turned out, and the score was announced, and she lit up a little bit. Then they corrected the score, and this went all over the internet. It was written all over her face, the emotion. What? Jesus is quite the opposite. What was written on his face was awe-inspiring, even frightening to the disciples. And maybe for the first time they understood the metaphorical conversations he'd been having, like, "My Father in heaven, the Son of Man," and so on. It's useful to know that this event took place shortly before everybody made their way to Jerusalem. And that's one of the reasons that this text is always used in one of its three versions, in each of the three lectionary years assigned to the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. We start Lent this week. This is the place where Jesus goes up the mountain, shows himself to the disciples for who he is, and then comes down the mountain and heads to Jerusalem. The reality and the emotion is written all over his face. Well, we have what I would call mountaintop experiences as well. One of my favorite things to do in my ministry, not only weddings, but particular moments in weddings that are carefully scripted and orchestrated. Everybody goes up to the mountain when the music changes and the bride walks in. Everybody watches the bride. Not me. I watch the groom watch the bride. They get self-conscious. And what I want to tell them is, nobody's looking at you. Just light up. That's what you're supposed to do. And they do. You know, it's written all over his face, the love that goes with that. It's a mountaintop experience, as it were. Similarly, you know, and you've probably had this experience, maybe somebody took your picture. And you can find it somewhere. At the moment they handed you an infant, maybe your brand new infant, the moms in the group, or dads, or if you're the papa, as it were. Maybe somebody took your picture with you. And you never forget that first moment of, you know, eyeball to eyeball with new life. I mean, this just bundle of possibility. It's like their face shines, and yours does too. Bright as the sun. Maybe less dramatically so, but I mean, all of us go through our lives experiencing crowning achievements. You know, the Oscars is tonight, and I don't know who's getting one, but somebody always gets a kind of lifetime achievement award. Well, I learned this last week. A friend of mine, he sent me a text message. I mean, that's how we communicate now. that the Board of Regents signed off on his promotion to full professor. Well, that's kind of a lifetime achievement. You know, in the academy, we really only get two promotions in our whole lives if our careers are successful. And we agree that that's all right. Well, he reached a mountain in his career and sent me a text message that even though it was a two-dimensional sort of cyber communication, I could tell he was, I did it, it was great, you know. And he should, you know, I've been there myself, and it's quite a thing. So it's written all over our faces, you know, the satisfaction, the love, the emotion, the energy when we're on the mountain. Peter wanted to stay there. One of the interesting insights. It's almost an aside. Peter goes, hey, let's stay here for a second. Let's build boxes to make this moment last forever. And Jesus sort of ignores it. And at the end of the story, everybody's gone. They've seen the high mountaintop experience, but they have to go back down into the valley. And we know what that's like too, you know. And that's a sense of emotion and reality that winds up written all over our faces too. You know, when the news, when the event, when the reality of life hits us pretty hard. Because of course, the bright love that seems to be forever situated on the mountain, the other side of that is great loss. You know, even at weddings, the vows say, till death us do part. That will happen to one. And the other will be aggrieved. And when they learn the news or are faced with the reality of it, whether it be in a hospital bed where they've unhooked all the machines, or perhaps in a casket, and they see and experience the reality in the company of others, sometimes open-mouthed horror, sometimes head-bowed sadness, the love, the other side of love, is written all over their faces, down on the mountain. Well, Jesus, I think, understood that too, because he took the disciples with him and gave them the energy from the mountain to see them through the valley. Now, we would go nuts if we lived from mountain to valley and mountain to valley. We don't typically. In the course of a year, any particular year, we might have one or two of each type of experience. But I think we also have in microcosm a transfiguration process that we don't think about very often, but occurs, if not every day, at least often enough from which we could draw strength from the message of Jesus' transfiguration. We have the mountain, we have the valley, but we also have a kind of repetitive reunion, one with another. It's getting harder to do these days to actually meet someone at the airport, you know, because you can't go through the secured area and parking is a hassle. It's just as easy to just, you know, drive the car up to the curb or maybe wait in the cell phone lot and time it that way. I like it when I see people take just the little extra effort to park the car somewhere and walk into the terminal, because there is a point on the other, just at the security gate, where people are getting off the plane and meeting and, you know, arriving at their destination, where people meet, and then you watch them meet. You know, it's like a reunion. Well, I picked up Jeannie at the airport on Friday, and we had our little, you know, there she is, you know, which I really like. And, you know, she did that for me when I got into Peoria and all of that. But the point is, there was another family there, kind of off to the side. There was a woman holding an infant, and another woman with her who, I would bet 99% chance, is the woman's mother. And the baby carriage had a sign. It was like, yay by so on it. Big glittery thing. And the sign said, I've waited my whole life to meet you. Welcome home, Daddy. Of course, the infant, of course, was born, I suspect, while Daddy was overseas. You know? Oh, my gosh. It's written all over his face. You know. In microcosm, that is the story of the Transfiguration. And being a part of it, because, you know, we had our little transfiguration. I was really glad to see her, etc., etc. But you kind of draw energy from the love and hope and anticipation in there, you know. But every time we see a friend, bump into somebody at coffee, Or if you live with someone who loves you very much, you simply say good morning. It's like a reunion. It's a glad to see you. Transfiguration. We draw energy from the love that is written all over our faces. And that energy sees us through the difficult times. He was transfigured before them, on the mountain, through the valley. But even our own experience, if we recognize it for what it is, we can find some energy, some transfiguring energy in the way we interact with and reconnect one with another. This whole set of ideas came together for me this week when I remembered the ending of a sports movie that came out about 25 years ago, Hoosiers, the basketball story. Do you remember that one? I don't want to go all Billy Budd on you English literature types and suggest that Coach Normandale is a Christ figure in that movie, but his life certainly had a checkered past, and he experienced a great deal of stress and turmoil in his job as a high school coach. And he got this gig in a backwater town in Indiana, which was sort of his last chance, you know, to make good in the coaching profession. And against all odds, he takes his team to the state finals. And the scene in that movie that came to my mind as I was looking for a way to wrap all this up, at the very end, he says to the team, in a sense, it's way past big speech time. You know what got you here, you know what to do. And then somebody says a prayer and somebody else has a Bible verse. And he gets them all together, and they're in a huddle, and he looks up. And what he says is sort of odd. He doesn't say, go get them, or we can win, etc. He just looks up and goes, I love you guys. And it was written all over his face that it really didn't matter how the game turned out. What mattered was, in this moment, we were together. It seems to me, of course, when Moses and Elijah disappears, that Jesus, in effect, says to Peter, James, and John, just as they're about to go down the mountain and they know where they're going, or at least Jesus does, he says, wait a minute. I love you guys. The next time you know you're heading through the valley, draw strength from the never-changing reality that the God who transfigured his son before the eyes of the disciples has but one thing to say to us every day, during every minute of every day, especially when during 1 minute of any particular day we really need the strength. I love you guys. It's written all over his face. Amen.